Hello and welcome back to that Eurovision site. Today, with the exception of some headphones, we're dressed like quite somber colours because we're discussing a dearly departed friend, ESCZ, which, when Czechia confirmed their participation recently, which great, we love to see them still in the competition. There were rumours they weren't they. They're cancelling ESCZ and going internal. So with that in mind, we're deciding to take a look at the last however many years it was of ESCZ and what we thought of the format in general. So, what did we think of the format in general?
I mean, to call it one format is a bit of a misnomer. It's gone through
It's what
some.
it's one name.
It's gone through a evolution from a online only camp little nonsense thing, which I absolutely loved. And oh, I could talk about 2019, 2020, and 2022 in particular for like five podcasts each, let alone all of them together in one. But yeah, I mean, it evolved into almost a normal national final by the last time around this year, 2024. I always had a good time. Mostly I had a good time because the song selection was just so strong. In my opinion, ESCZ has almost every year had the strongest song selection, both on amount of songs that are great and also just percentage-wise, which is really impressive, in my opinion.
I wouldn't go that far, but I
Yeah,
think
I can't. I will say I think it improved as it went on.
yes.
However, I think some of the earlier years, there was some barrel scraping.
Yeah, I what I will give it to them is when you consider that this is a national final for Czechia, which is Central Europe. Less lower population, lower income, lower music market than a lot of like wealthier Western Europe countries. They did really well for it. Like, you can argue that some of the songs in there weren't great, which a lot of them weren't, but I don't think there was a bad ESCZ winner, which cannot be said for a lot of shows in
See, this is.
Shows in markets a lot bigger than Czechia, so
See,
it
when I
did
was
well for
listening to
them.
the tracks back today, I did sit there and think in almost all occasions they did the right winner did get picked. There are a few where I think it could have gone either way, but in almost all occasions, I do think like. Definitely 2018. I was listening back and I was just sitting there listening to the songs and just being
2018 kind of
like,
felt like an internal selection with extra steps.
I mean, the one thing like I want to say about ESCZ is although they have been making slow progress, I feel like they have been making progress. They have not been just consistently bad or consistently fine. They have just been like slowly inching their way up to and if things had continued, I would have loved to see what they would have done with it. And obviously if they ever bring it back at any point, then it would be interesting to see what they do, whether they can keep that momentum. But I do think they were really getting towards something, which is why I'm kind of very sad to see it go. You could just see that they were improving.
Yeah, and what I like is they weren't afraid to mix it up, try something different, because this year they hosted like they had a crowd for the first time ever. They had like it was live, like people were there, they could see it. I don't think that worked for them particularly. I think because if you like watch the show, the sound for especially on like the YouTube stream, awful. Like none of them really sounded good, but look at Aiko's other performances. She sounds great there. So I and that's
mean,
cheap.
early years they did video vote, based off video and stuff like that. And like, I could
They've
see
come
them
so
doing,
far.
I could have seen them going to a like live on tape style, like Malta does. I could have seen them going and doing that this year. But we will never know what they would have done because we know what they are doing, which is going back to internal.
I'm glad they took the step. It didn't work, but oh well. Maybe it could have, and then they could have built on that and built on that. But they're struggling a lot with like one of our lowest viewership figures, like in maybe the lowest in like the entire contest. They have to deal with that with pretty much just public apathy that no matter what they do, they're not going to have so loads of funding just because of viewing figures are not there. They're never going to have a Melfest. But like per pound for pound, I think it's definitely in the 2020s the best national final per like pound spent. Because I would have wanted to be like in the ESCZ room in 2023 when they were going through the songs and they first heard Vesna. Because you're just like some like small time national final in Central Europe, and you hear that getting put into your submissions.
Yeah, I
The,
agree.
I I would be
The
doing I would be doing laps around the room.
I mean, and in between those cartwheels, like, and this has been something I've been hammering on a lot, and this is even true for Melfest, so even the most expensive national final, I would argue. A lot of the production for a lot of national finals, and even a lot of Eurovision songs, is really, really bad and really, really cheap. It's production I can do, and I have no experience in any kind of audio engineering. Even the bad ESCZ songs tend to have professional sounding production. You can at least say that, like, it's all professional, competent, like, people know what they're doing. Even
I
if we
mean,
dislike it. And in 2023, we had an actual Oscar winner who's also shown up in Sung Vaketnin competing. Pam Rabbit came back with also what was a very competent Eurovision ready entry. I mean, we all love to, joke on Rodan and his introvert party club, but that could have done decently in Eurovision as well.
Are
Are
we
we
joking
dunking on
about that?
Rodan? Because we're not dunking
No,
on
no, no, no,
Rodan,
no.
right? No, I'm not dunking. I'm just saying, like, a lot of
Folly,
people do love to
folly.
joke about
That
that
was one of my
entry.
songs of the season.
I know,
Wait,
but we all
that
in
was
agreement
so
about
good.
Rodan.
Yeah.
It's cute.
What
And
a time.
Jur on End the
Yeah.
Air would murder. Gen they would commit. Gen they don't even care about Eurovision, and they would still murder to have a song like this in the national final.
That is pretty much what I said when I was like watching it back yesterday, that so many countries would like kill for a song that comes third in Czechia, which doesn't feel like it should happen. But yeah. And he's doing well for himself now. He's been touring through Poland, which is great for him. It goes to show that you don't have to even win ESCZ anymore to get something good out of it.
I
And
feel like, ESCZ has become a bit of it has become a bit of like a cult favorite amongst the fans, and even like it's not like it's consistently delivering like one specific type of music or anything like that. It's not like Mellow, for example. We're gonna compare to Mellow a lot here, I can feel it. Where you're getting like some of the same kind of music, or even like Sanremo or stuff where you're getting a lot of the same kind of music, it did have a good variety and it did have a good, idea of let's have different types of stuff in it. Thinking back to like, I'm sorry, I my Czech is terrible and stuff, but Jezinski? Oh my God, that was terrible. And stuff like that. But, stuff that you might not think would be standard fare, kind of coming out of that kind of space. But, interesting stuff coming out of there. And not just people throwing stuff that is Eurovision fodder, in inverted commas, towards a country that, maybe doesn't have the good viewing figures and doesn't have the good budget and doesn't have maybe the same backing within the country. So, and I mean, yet I just think that, that as a selection process, it is one of the ones that, like I say, it's consistently produced tracks that are, good quality tracks and, good quality performers. And, you don't get that necessarily year on year with every country. So for a small country, budget-wise, to do that.
One other thing I'd like to mention is it was a very early national final, and with it being gone, I think that is something the fandom is going to miss quite a lot.
We
Because
have Monty's song's going to be relatively early
Montesong is November, but
November.
we don't know how long that's going to last,
And
and
what will it be like? Because,
yeah.
Malta, and for 2 years in a row, not last year, but 2 years before, Esti Lal both started in like November. Esti Lal started in October, even 1 year, which
Yep.
was what?
That was
No one
weird.
cared about. I'll be very frank, no one in the Eurovision circles cared about that.
I think like there's Fick before the end of the year as well, but I think it had a really nice slot of just a small, you can watch the entire thing in an evening national final. That it's a really fun niche to fill. And I'm glad that Montesong is coming in to at least try and fill that. I don't think it will be ESCZ levels, but just because different countries, different music. But I'll hold out hope. And honestly, I would love to see it be like ESCZ because pretty much like any country like with like a small population, like east of the Danube. Get yourself an ESCZ because it'll do well for you. Because you don't need to like cram in like 30 artists for like just a low production national final. You can get like six in a medium production national final. That's basically what your internal selection was going to be anyway. So
I feel like this is kind of,
T
ESCZ was Umkar Junior.
Yeah.
A one shot, one night national final that basically has a good variety of music within it. And obviously we're not talking the same scales. We're not talking selling out arenas. We're not talking about big budgets. But we are talking that philosophy of let's narrow this down to the smallest, a small amount of songs, get people hyped about a small amount of songs. There are some countries, Lithuania, that could learn from this, and get people hyped about a small amount of songs. Like the discourse on the timeline, people being like, oh yeah, like I am hyped for this track. I'm hyped for this track. And you had like, you because it's this smaller kind of catchment of songs, you're getting people kind of being
Yeah.
like, oh, I'm team Aiko, I'm team Ellie, I'm team MIDI, whatever. And it was kind of like, it kind of felt like the end of a series of Drag Race or something like that, where you have these like allegiances, and it was like, actually, I kind of liked it. Also, and it needs to be. I'm just going to repeat it again because it really bears repeating. The variety in the music presenting ESCZ really helped to show it off at, and also the variety in the kind of artist, which I'll dig into in a moment. It really helped to both be a national final for Eurovision and a showcase of the national music scene. The Czech national music scene, and just the music that is popular is quite old and interesting. My favorite example of that is back in 2010 or something, when I was on holiday there, and I spent a day in Prague. I went to a record store there, and the CD from Apocalyptica, the Finnish band who also was the interval act when Eurovision went to Finland, had a sticker on that said, because this was a music store that was frequented by tourists as well, and the sticker on it said specifically for Czech and Slovak audiences. I'm like, what do you mean? This is a Finnish band. I'm a Dutch. What? But it just goes to show how peculiar, like in you know, and I mean that just in a unique sense, how unique the Czech just general music scene is. But you also have between like established artists like Hayao Smetana or Benny Kristo or Vesna even, which are Vesna were like a fairly indie act, but definitely established in that indie scene. And then you compare it to like Annabelle, Skywalker, the Valentines, just to name, from the best one 2022, but you can name from any edition these up and coming artists, or Barbara Mochova, no one knew really of her that much before ESCZ, and now she is, people at least know of her, and that's sort of the kind of thing like you want to show off your national music scene, give them maybe that international success. Aiko around the time of ESCZ also got that feature on, like, as the first Czech artist promoted by Amazon Music on Times Square or some kind of nonsense like that. Like, this is
Yeah.
how you want to do that, to really help elevate your general cultural scene on top of performing well in Eurovision.
I know you've drummed on about this like in private for like as long as I've been here, but ESCZ 2022, it was great. It was basically, here's a few songs, go nuts. And people went nuts because they were good songs.
Honestly, especially if you have no budget, 2019 and 2022 are the two editions I would point at to broadcasters of try to emulate that, because 2019 had that. I mean, it was silly, but you locked up every performer in like that one Big Brother house basically for an hour, and they had to make a music video on a phone. And that did help them show their personality, some of like what kind of energy they would bring to the staging at Eurovision, which is also an important part. And it's much better than just putting them on a random tiny stage that you have standing around somewhere, call for Malta again, and they just have to work with that and all the personality from this getting extracted. This is something Ireland struggled for a long time, actually, with their Eurosong as well. And 2022, with this sort of live on tape, plus you had the music videos beforehand, really helped to show off both what the bands could do live and what their visual identity and general identity was. And it's one of the most expensive feeling national finals I've watched, despite probably being short on a budget of two crisp packets.
Yeah, I think 2022 is, as I said, the model should that should be emulated. Like especially someone like Georgia, who's had like about 26 different selection methods in about 5 years. Like so something like vaguely consistent and in that like, engagement driven. Like we know Georgia can do music. They're when I looked at their list of entries last, which was like last week when we were doing Caucasus Discourse in the Discord, a lot better songs than I remember. Like that they're good. There's probably songs that didn't go to Eurovision that are good. So just get like get nuts. So get your like nationally mandated pop girly that every country seems to have. Get three other people, chuck them in a random studio. Armini could do this with that warehouse they've got, and make like four or five songs, tweet out a voting link. You've got a bare bones national final that will get you some decent results if ESCZ is a model to follow.
Yeah, I do think there is a big argument for these smaller. We see it again and again. Countries come in, or say they want to do a national final, and they do the most flashy. They want to go for a minimum of two semi-finals and a final. And actually, I think this shows that being tighter on your selection in the first place not letting the chaff through, giving people a little bit of a say. Like I know obviously there was juries as well in some editions.
Oh
But
God, the
you
juries.
but equally, I think there is, there is a very good argument for let's make the process cheaper, and we know that countries do struggle with the funds to sort out their Eurovision selection. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons that a lot of countries do go internal. And obviously that's what's happened in this case. They've decided to put more money towards the final product and less money towards the selection, and very valid. I mean, when we look at what Czechia has been producing in like actual Eurovision, the staging has been pretty much up there, like with absolutely some of the best staging
Yeah,
for several years
I'd
now.
say the best
And,
staging this year and the best use of the stage.
yeah, absolutely. And I would say, if the sacrifice of absolutely hiring whoever did that staging again is that we don't get an ESCZ, I will make my peace with that, because, in the end, they do need to qualify, and they do need to get in the final,
Yeah.
because we know what will happen if they don't,
Yeah.
and the sacrifice of losing the national final for that, it's worth it. It's a hard decision, but definitely worth it.
All right, to clarify my oh God juries thing, the people who are on them, like actually being like relevant from Eurovision the year before, great. I love seeing that Zara Gasper tanked Elise Mraz in the jury scores. The actual like power that they get, what the fuck was that jury split in 2022? Why did Annabelle get 1.5 jury points? What
No,
that?
Annabelle got 8 jury points, but got 1.5 point from the Czech and international public because of how they split up the public versus jury. Like that's how. But yeah, it was complete chaos.
Why?
In general, I have a lot of complaints about ESCZ and scoring, also with especially in the last two editions, how heavily they weighted the
Oh,
international
yeah.
viewing public, which.
Yep, can
I
agree.
understand how they do it and why they did it, but I
The
think different approaches
international
would have been
told
preferable.
by a guy on Twitter how to vote public.
That too. The one thing I would definitely say that I did like about the general idea of the jury setup is also in line with what Kitten said, and this is again something that I've said before privately and I believe also in public by now. A lot of countries, especially the smaller, like countries with smaller budget, have that the selection committee and at least part or all of their national jury are the same people. In which case, the jury is double dipping, especially if they pick 40 songs, Lithuania. Why are you picking so many songs and then still have a jury say over it? But then it's the same people that pick the songs, so they're just double dipping. Why can't they just pick the 8 songs that they would select anyway? And then you can have other people have a say over them. If it's in just a pure televote, or you do it with like, oh, we want some international input, so whether you ask like Eurovision representatives, or I don't like heads of delegation, former or current, being jury members. Hello, Melody Festival in Germany. But you can pick whoever you want, but that's what you have. Then the potential extra jury spots for, just don't do the double dipping. And that's something that ESCZ has genuinely been very good on, because these are all songs I could understand why a jury would pick them. And that's also why I'm not too much dreading the internal selection, because these are clearly the songs, these feel like the songs they would have shortlisted regardless every year. This feels like the songs that the Czech broadcaster would have shortlisted regardless. Who knows what they actually would have picked every year? But the fact that they abandoned it the way they did, the ESCZ format, makes me feel that they broadly agreed with how people voted anyway. And they were just like, this is costing us money to get to the same result. We might as well skip it and spend those extra 5 euros on promoting it on YouTube.
Yeah. Last thing on the juries, I just when I was just like skimming through the editions, I absolutely love the mental image of Jay Aston from Bucks Fizz listening to Jasinski. I just think something about that to me is just hilarious. And obviously she ranked it last. So I want to know what she thinks. Obviously not very good.
I want to put her in a room with Manisha, who gave 12 points to Elis Mraz.
Yes. It's I had like a great time going through all these jury votes because you know who the people are. It's not just like anonymous Estonian broadcast man one. We're looking at like Dadi Freya, like Go Away, Blind Channel. Ha, we were talking about their budget. They've got pull to get all these people in. Like that's like a song festival fest lineup. But is it yes, he's their jury?
Yeah, it's not even just the usual we show up at every Eurovision thing suspects. Like, it's not. It
Yeah.
wasn't just like Kano, Nathan Trent, and what and Victor Krone, who've also all been there. Don't get me wrong, but you Kasia Mosh and Stig Rasta don't just show up randomly. Like they do want some convincing to put this effort in. And who knows what rock Katarina Duska was under before she got on the jury.
I mean, it has felt to me, and this is absolutely based on nothing, that Czechia have probably been one of the more approachable
Yeah.
delegations generally, and one of the more friendly delegations generally in this contest. This is like a hard thing to say, but like, consistently over the years, they are not here for a fight, they are here to learn.
Yeah.
And this is the one thing that really does give me hope for an internal selection, is that they are going to take everything they've learned over these years and sit there and go, right, what have we
Yeah.
tried? What did work? What didn't work? What did we struggle with? Money obviously being one of the things that we know they would struggle with. They've certainly got talent, and they've certainly got people with talent applying for ESCZ. And when you think about it, even though they didn't qualify last year, there's still so many people getting excited about what Czechia are going to do this year. They are not in, say, like Moldova situation, where everybody is looking at what Moldova did last year and having a bit of a despair and being like, big shrug, don't know what's going on here. They seem to be an improving, feedback forward, friendly delegation. And again, this is only from the outside. I've not been, inside the delegation bubble or anything like that, but they genuinely do seem to be the kind of people who are going to sit there and learn.
And I think even if like the poll is like the entire country, maybe Slovakia too, if they're feeling so inclined, but because this year Slovakian artists could enter, but even if their poll was just people that have entered ESCZ and not won, they'd still be spoilt for choice, I think, because you could have like Judy, you could have Annabelle, you could have Pam Rabbit, you could have Barbara Makova, all like
I
good
mean,
artists, different artists that
even the
could,
Valentines and Skywalker, they
yeah,
fit right in with previous and
even
potentially
like
future
Rodan.
Eurovision artists. Yeah, like they all fit into a rough area. Hai and Smetana are still making music that I actually quite like, to everyone's surprise, including my own. The one thing I will say is I actually think part of the freedom the Czech delegation has to be so good are actually budget constraints.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the history of Eurovision being broadcast in the Czech Republic, except for an early stint in basically the 60s when it was broadcast there, back in the Iron Curtain days before they competed, and one time in 2007, which was their debut, they didn't broadcast it on their main television channel. It's almost always been on their second, or even on like a spin-off of their second public broadcaster, which is Fine. And, partially, at least the final was broadcast on Mainland. But the last 3 years, it was all on the ČT2, so on the second broadcast of the Czech Republic. I do feel that's just a function of the broadcaster saying, okay, we just give you the minimum amount of budget necessary, and you guys can have fun with it because it's only 50,000 euros or whatever. I don't know the exact budget, but we give you basically no money, and then you can have fun with it because it's even for us, despite us not being the richest broadcaster, it's fairly little. You do your thing, and they can just run away with it. Whereas other broadcasters, you can really tell, because it's expensive, relatively or absolutely speaking, the broadcaster is really tightly on top of it and is saying like it needs to fit these exact molds, regardless of whether that makes it a better show or a better selection process or Eurovision in general, better experience. So I just hope they get to keep that freedom. The good in that sense, the good thing is I don't feel that the Czech broadcaster gives any kind of fuck about Eurovision whatsoever, and it's just a small dedicated team that does and that gets to have the creative control. But I do hope that that stays the same.
I think it often like clashes with ice hockey, which that because it's the Czech Republic, you're like legally required to show ice hockey over everything. So I think inspired by a Zoom notification I've just got that says running out of time, I think it's time to talk about the songs we liked from this selection, ESEZ. And I'll start with Running Out of F-ing Time by Annabelle, which it was fun, angsty girl pop song that make brain go scratchy scratchy. I know I say that for a lot of songs, but there's not really no final way I can put it. It makes the brain receptors go. It's really fun, and I think if you listen to them beforehand, you know this is from Barbara Mukova, especially White and Black Holes from 2020, which public robbed, jury didn't. Good job, jury. It's a sad girl ballad, and it's a pretty decent one at that. So obviously, I'm going to go for it. Pretty much all of the winners as well, especially towards the 2020s, 2022, 23, 24, all great. But we've hammered that through already. Vroden, I'm still listening to that to this day. Introvert Party Club. It's really fun. He's a sweet little guy. And this year, I liked Ellie, The Angels Share. Really good song.
Yeah,
I
I
think we'll get
mostly the same as what
some
you
variety
said.
this. Really?
Mostly
Wow.
the same of what you said. Pam Rabbit has been
Her
excellent,
too.
an excellent contestant across the
I
God
would
knows
not
how
be
many
sh I
entries.
would not be shocked if we saw her next year.
Would not be shocked at all, and would actually love it. Yeah, I'd be here for that. I mean, MIDI from last year, I thought were absolutely great. And would again, if they were going to select somebody who had been in a previous show, I'd definitely advocate for that as well. But we'd have to see who they choose this year.
Yeah, I broadly agree with the people mentioned. I also want to highlight from 2020 Olga Lunova with Dark Water. And from 2022, I honestly could mention anyone and everyone, but the two artists have also been, well, Hannes Smetana I've brought up multiple times, and they've only brought up one song since. But in a just world, Emma Smetana would be a superstar. That being said, the two artists I've genuinely followed post-Eurovision. And it's not just because they were my two first interviews. They just have a great discography. Our Skywalker and the Valentines, two very different vibes. But if you like your indie pop rock, go listen to the Valentines in the back catalogue. If you like your post-hardcore screamo nonsense, go listen to Skywalker some more. They're both really good in their own respective genres.
Adam Mosheik is the funniest man I've ever seen.
Not necessarily on purpose.
No, and
Funniest man because Elise Mraz is funniest woman.
that is the best part because you have no idea if he means it or not. Just, he's really funny on purpose, like 50% of the time, but way funnier by accident the rest of the time. And I just love that. I I will miss him hosting so much because he's so awkward, which is like my style of humor. It's great, but we don't have any more time. Thank you for watching this video on that Eurovision site. Be sure to follow us on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, Tumblr,
Everything.
probably some more.
Back of a leaf. We're everywhere.
Thank you for watching. Bye.
Bye.